An alle Aufsichtspersonen: Verteilen Sie jetzt die Aufgabenbogen für die Berufsmaturitätsprüfung im Fach Englisch. Die Prüfung beginnt in einer Minute. An die Kandidatinnen und Kandidaten: Beschriften Sie jetzt das Deckblatt der Prüfung. Achtung! Lesen Sie die Aufgaben erst, wenn der englische Text beginnt. Berufsmaturität Wirtschaft 2024. Englisch Serie A und B. Sie können jetzt zur ersten Aufgabe gehen. This part of the examination consists of two different listening comprehension tasks. There will be pauses before and after each task to give you time to read the questions and to check your answers. You will hear each task twice. Task 1. City Rickshaw Service. In the first part of the test, you will hear part of a radio program about a rickshaw service for tourists in Amsterdam. As you listen, fill in the gaps 1 to 11 in the notes below. In some gaps, more than one word is necessary for a complete answer. You now have 60 seconds in which to look at task 1. Ready?
One of the more recent ideas for transport within the tourist centres of cities can be seen on the streets of Amsterdam. Here, rickshaws, a sort of large tricycle with space for two adult passengers seated behind the driver, are an increasingly common sight wending their way entirely engine-free between the city's principal tourist sites. The rickshaw service was the idea of startup entrepreneur Carsten Dijkman, who had seen rickshaws in India and Pakistan and other countries in Asia, and who recognised their potential for busy European cities. His fleet of rickshaws, which he has imported from China, have become increasingly popular with tourists during the summer months. The service is not available from the 1st of November to the end of March, when Carsten, himself a driver as well as owner and managing director of the service, takes a well-earned winter break from pedalling and devotes himself to his winter business, a city centre open-air ice rink. In the first season, in 2016, when Carsten started with just one rickshaw with a friend helping out, people clearly regarded the rickshaw service as a bit strange. Carsten himself admits that there were moments in that first season when he wondered about the possibility of failure. But despite days, mostly wet and windy ones, when he barely had a single fare, the numbers of journeys slowly increased. From just 20 journeys, 30 to 40 passengers, a week in the first year with one rickshaw, the 10 rickshaw fleet he now runs carries over 1,000 passengers a week in the busiest summer months. So, who drives Carsten's rickshaws? Carsten will essentially employ any fit and healthy adult who needs the extra cash to drive the rickshaws, but the majority are students. He charges a driver €70 a day for the use of a rickshaw. The passengers are charged €15 each if two travel, and €25 if alone in the rickshaw for a half-hour journey. This includes commentary on the sights via headphones, if wished for by the passengers. Drivers can easily expect to make at least 10 journeys a day if the weather is fine. The rickshaw service in Amsterdam owes part of its success to the fact that Amsterdam is flat and a cyclist's paradise. The city has an extensive system of bicycle lanes and even has mini traffic lights for cyclists. While there is, of course, competition from rented normal bikes and scooters, the luxury for the passengers of being driven around in a rickshaw a covered, relaxing, two-seater, ecologically friendly vehicle clearly appeals to large numbers of tourists. Getting permission to run a rickshaw service in a city isn't always straightforward. In Britain, for example, an English businesswoman has only recently won a three-year battle against the protests of local bus companies. Carsten has had no such problems in Amsterdam, however, and even has plans to expand his rickshaw service to other European cities. As he told me at the end of our interview, what can possibly be wrong about a form of transport that produces zero pollution, brings a smile and offers something a bit special to every passenger, and keeps its drivers fit? My drivers sleep soundly at night after a day on the rickshaw.
Now listen again and check your answers. Ready?
One of the more recent ideas for transport within the tourist centres of cities can be seen on the streets of Amsterdam. Here, rickshaws, a sort of large tricycle with space for two adult passengers seated behind the driver, are an increasingly common sight wending their way entirely engine-free between the city's principal tourist sites. The rickshaw service was the idea of startup entrepreneur Carsten Dijkman, who had seen rickshaws in India and Pakistan and other countries in Asia, and who recognised their potential for busy European cities. His fleet of rickshaws, which he has imported from China, have become increasingly popular with tourists during the summer months. The service is not available from the 1st of November to the end of March, when Carsten, himself a driver as well as owner and managing director of the service, takes a well-earned winter break from pedalling and devotes himself to his winter business, a city centre open-air ice rink. In the first season, in 2016, when Carsten started with just one rickshaw with a friend helping out, people clearly regarded the rickshaw service as a bit strange. Carsten himself admits that there were moments in that first season when he wondered about the possibility of failure. But despite days, mostly wet and windy ones, when he barely had a single fare, the numbers of journeys slowly increased. From just 20 journeys, 30 to 40 passengers, a week in the first year with one rickshaw, the 10 rickshaw fleet he now runs carries over 1,000 passengers a week in the busiest summer months. So, who drives Carsten's rickshaws? Carsten will essentially employ any fit and healthy adult who needs the extra cash to drive the rickshaws, but the majority are students. He charges a driver €70 a day for the use of a rickshaw. The passengers are charged €15 each if two travel, and €25 if alone in the rickshaw for a half-hour journey. This includes commentary on the sights via headphones, if wished for by the passengers. Drivers can easily expect to make at least 10 journeys a day if the weather is fine. The rickshaw service in Amsterdam owes part of its success to the fact that Amsterdam is flat and a cyclist's paradise. The city has an extensive system of bicycle lanes and even has mini traffic lights for cyclists. While there is, of course, competition from rented normal bikes and scooters, the luxury for the passengers of being driven around in a rickshaw, a covered, relaxing, two-seater, ecologically friendly vehicle, clearly appeals to large numbers of tourists. Getting permission to run a rickshaw service in a city isn't always straightforward. In Britain, for example, an English businesswoman has only recently won a three-year battle against the protests of local bus companies. Carsten has had no such problems in Amsterdam, however, and even has plans to expand his rickshaw service to other European cities. As he told me at the end of our interview, what can possibly be wrong about a form of transport that produces zero pollution, brings a smile and offers something a bit special to every passenger, and keeps its drivers fit? My drivers sleep soundly at night after a day on the rickshaw.
This is the end of task one. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers. Now turn to task two. Task two, the three R's. In the second part of the test, you will hear a presenter telling us about Dorothy Adams, who has achieved something remarkable at the age of 84. For questions 1 to 7, mark the best answer, A, B, or C. You now have 45 seconds in which to look at task 2. Ready?
Most adults take for granted their ability to read a book or to write an email. A British great-grandmother from Nottingham, however, at the grand old age of 84, is only now really savouring those pleasures, after only recently learning to read and write. Dorothy Adams didn't learn a great deal at the village school outside Nottingham, which she attended as a child. She just sat at the back of the class of 30 pupils and learnt how to knit woolen socks. She says that her teachers completely failed in their basic duty of teaching her the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Dorothy left school at just 12 years of age, unthinkable, indeed impossible today. But what was it like for Dorothy to be unable to read and write as an adult? Dorothy brought up her own children without being able to read them a bedtime story, or even read what it said on a holiday postcard from a friend or relative. Food shopping was a nightmare for her. Unable to read the name or product information, she just bought things by recognising what the packets looked like. For example, she knew that Kellogg's cornflakes had a cockerel on the front, and that Uncle Ben's rice was in an orange box. So, when was the moment that Dorothy decided that things had to change? She says that 4 years ago, she was in the small local supermarket when an elderly man about her age started chatting to her as they waited in line at the checkout. He told Dorothy how he had moved to Nottingham from his coal mining village at 15 years of age with only the clothes and shoes he was wearing and hardly able to read and write. He had managed, however, to get a simple manual job which paid for him to go to college and had eventually become a fully qualified primary school teacher. Dorothy thought to herself, if he can do it, why can't I? Within a couple of weeks of that encounter, Dorothy had signed up for an adult literacy course at the Nottingham Adult Education Centre, where she began attending morning lessons 4 times a week to work towards her adult literacy certificate. For Dorothy, who had not been inside a school for almost 70 years, the lessons and the homework were one of the greatest challenges of her long life. She spent hours every day, except Sunday, sitting at home doing her homework and often felt that she would never get that certificate. Her teacher, Alison Overton, set Dorothy short-term goals, but Dorothy's long-term goal was to be able to write letters and emails to her wider family, scattered all around the world, and with whom she had had no contact, in some cases for decades. After 4 years of college and hard work, Dorothy Adams was awarded the literacy certificate, official proof that she could finally read and write. Being able to read and write has transformed Dorothy's life. She now reads the local and national newspapers, something she was never able to do in the past, when she used to have to get someone to read them out to her, or watch the news on TV, of course. Now, however, Dorothy can talk about things going on in the world, far more sure of what she says, because she has read about those things herself. She can question bills, correspond with the local council, read bus and train timetables. In short, she can approach normal daily life with massively increased confidence. However thrilled Dorothy is with her progress, she knows she still has some way to go. She is determined to press on until she can take any text, however long, however difficult, and know that she can read and understand it, and until she can write about any topic. "I've not waited this long, come this far, to turn back now," Dorothy says. "If it's the last thing I do, I will get there."
Now listen again and check your answers. Ready?
Most adults take for granted their ability to read a book or to write an email. A British great-grandmother from Nottingham, however, at the grand old age of 84, is only now really savouring those pleasures, after only recently learning to read and write. Dorothy Adams didn't learn a great deal at the village school outside Nottingham, which she attended as a child. She just sat at the back of the class of 30 pupils and learnt how to knit woolen socks. She says that her teachers completely failed in their basic duty of teaching her the three R's: reading, writing, and arithmetic. Dorothy left school at just 12 years of age, unthinkable, indeed impossible today. But what was it like for Dorothy to be unable to read and write as an adult? Dorothy brought up her own children without being able to read them a bedtime story, or even read what it said on a holiday postcard from a friend or relative. Food shopping was a nightmare for her. Unable to read the name or product information, she just bought things by recognising what the packets looked like. For example, she knew that Kellogg's cornflakes had a cockerel on the front, and that Uncle Ben's rice was in an orange box. So, when was the moment that Dorothy decided that things had to change? She says that 4 years ago, she was in the small local supermarket, when an elderly man about her age started chatting to her as they waited in line at the checkout. He told Dorothy how he had moved to Nottingham from his coal mining village at 15 years of age, with only the clothes and shoes he was wearing, and hardly able to read and write. He had managed, however, to get a simple manual job which paid for him to go to college, and had eventually become a fully qualified primary school teacher. Dorothy thought to herself, if he can do it, why can't I? Within a couple of weeks of that encounter, Dorothy had signed up for an adult literacy course at the Nottingham Adult Education Centre, where she began attending morning lessons 4 times a week to work towards her adult literacy certificate. For Dorothy, who had not been inside a school for almost 70 years, the lessons and the homework were one of the greatest challenges of her long life. She spent hours every day, except Sunday, sitting at home doing her homework, and often felt that she would never get that certificate. Her teacher, Alison Overton, set Dorothy short-term goals, but Dorothy's long-term goal was to be able to write letters and emails to her wider family, scattered all around the world, and with whom she had had no contact, in some cases for decades. After 4 years of college and hard work, Dorothy Adams was awarded the literacy certificate, official proof that she could finally read and write. Being able to read and write has transformed Dorothy's life. She now reads the local and national newspapers, something she was never able to do in the past, when she used to have to get someone to read them out to her, or watch the news on TV, of course. Now, however, Dorothy can talk about things going on in the world, far more sure of what she says, because she has read about those things herself. She can question bills, correspond with the local council, read bus and train timetables. In short, she can approach normal daily life with massively increased confidence. However thrilled Dorothy is with her progress, she knows she still has some way to go. She is determined to press on until she can take any text, however long, however difficult, and know that she can read and understand it, and until she can write about any topic. "I've not waited this long, come this far, to turn back now," Dorothy says. "If it's the last thing I do, I will get there."
This is the end of the listening comprehension test. You may now proceed to complete the remaining parts of the test.